divorce. Even thinking about getting a divorce can be overwhelming, scary, and sometimes exciting. Join divorce coach and mediator Mandy Walker for conversations about divorce. The more you know, the easier it will be to make your divorce healthier, less stressful, and to put it behind you. Here's Mandy.
Welcome to Conversations About Divorce. I'm Mandy Walker. Today we're talking about taking care of yourself while you're going through your divorce and afterwards. Now, I wanted to talk about this because I often see people who are not taking care of themselves. And this is a very tumultuous time. It's heavy with competing, difficult demands. And there are often just simply not enough hours in the day to deal with those demands. And I know from my own personal experience, my tendency is when I get pressured and under time pressure like that, the first thing to go is taking care of myself. Now, I also hear from people who are going through a divorce that when I try to talk to them about taking care of themselves, they say, I don't have time for that right now. I just have to get through this and then I'll have time for me. So, but divorce is not a sprint race. It's much more like a marathon. And I know that you'll be in much better mental and physical shape when you get to that finish line, if you can pace yourself and you can take care of your needs. Now, joining me today to chat about what all this means and what it looks like is Martha Bodyfelt. Martha's a fellow divorce coach and a contributor to my Since My Divorce blog. Welcome, Martha.
Hi there. Hi, everybody. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here. Martha, I wanted to start by asking you to share your story about how you learned to take care of yourself. And I read on your blog that you served in the U.S. Army, that you were injured, and that meant the end of your career. Would you tell us what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had joined kind of young, and I thought, well, this is the life for me. This is the career, the job that Uncle Sam had assigned me to do. I was really excited about it. And about a year in,
How old were you?
I enlisted in the Army right after university. So I was about 23 years old.
Okay.
And I thought, well, this is great. I have this great job after university. I want to do this. I want to serve my country. I was given a military intelligence career as a linguist. And so I thought, you know what? My life is set. This is going to be such a great adventure. This is just how I had imagined my life to be. That was until about a year and a half later when I got a really nasty spinal injury. To the point that I couldn't even walk. And the medical personnel told me I had to have spinal surgery if I didn't want to become completely paralyzed. So the good news was the surgery went okay, that they were able to take out what they needed to take out in the spine to keep there from being any paralysis. But the bad news was they knew even right after the surgery that even if I had gone through a year or 2 years of physical therapy, which I did, my career in the Army would be over. And so just like that, this life I had envisioned for myself in the Army just was yanked away from me.
Really? And so that there wasn't any way that they could transition you to a different area or?
No, because the injuries were so bad. They'd said even if you had this, you know, just a desk job, there's just, you can't do what we need our soldiers to do in the Army.
Wow.
And just after bargaining and haggling with them, you know, the laws, the law and the regulations are the regulations. And so there was a time then, not only was I dealing with all of these physical issues of having to go through painful rehabilitation, there came this kind of mental fog that I just wasn't taking care of myself. I would lay on the couch feeling sorry for myself. I wouldn't do a lot of the physical therapy exercises that my therapist needed me to do to get better. I just became very, just kind of wallowing in self-pity, and that kind of mental state of not being kind to myself, not being patient with myself, and just feeling sorry for myself definitely prolonged the recovery process. And so that mental kind of barrier really stopped my ability to probably heal as fast as I could have. But obviously, I mean, 2020 hindsight on that.
Right. What was your support network like at that time? Did you have family, friends around you?
So at the time, I had married pretty young, and so it was all of this happened maybe within our first 1 or 2 years of marriage. And wow. So at the time, it was just basically me and my husband. And other than that, that was us. My family was a couple of time zones away. I had my friends. And then there was obviously my colleagues in the Army leadership, but that's not really a really good, solid support network. And so that was definitely an issue too, is I didn't have as many as positive people around me. And that was just the situation I was in. And I didn't know how to ask for help to get more support.
So Martha, this is going back a little bit, but I have to ask you, how were you injured?
So I think it was just, it's funny you should mention that, because at the time there was a lot of training that the military would do that was very, very antiquated, that we would be doing these ruck marches where you put maybe 65 pounds of gear on your back. And I remember this happened. It was a Halloween run that we ran maybe 10 miles, and then that was later at night, and then I woke up at 5 in the morning, and we had to do this ruck march with the 65 pounds of gear on your back. And I don't know if it was just my spine or my back said, you know what, enough is enough. And then after that, I woke up the next day and couldn't really feel my legs.
Wow.
And yeah, so it was, and the feeling came back, but, just knowing that something wasn't right and not knowing and being scared to initially say what's wrong with me, and having to wait a long time before one of my superiors said, there's something wrong with you, you're going to the doctor. So it wasn't anything big or fancy or heroic. I can't tell any story like that, but there I was, knee deep in. No, I've got nothing on that. I got nothing for you on that one. But it just a bad training. Nothing exciting like that, but just too much, too much pressure in short amount of time, on my body.
Wow. But still absolutely devastating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think, you know, when you're young and you join the military, and at the time, this was, you know, right after 9/11. And, you know, you think, I want to do this. I want to make a difference. I want to help my country. I want to help our partners. I want to help people around the world who need help. And that's why I joined. And I thought this would be amazing. I can do this for the next few decades of my life. But I found out by a few decades that only meant, oh, you know, 2 years into your time in service. It was absolutely devastating getting told that this life that you had planned for yourself, oh, just kidding, that's not how it's going to go, and not knowing how to deal with that. That's, you know, I look back on that time in my life, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Right. So, Martha, this is not the only time that you've had to figure out how to take care of yourself and to deal with something devastating. You also went through divorce yourself. Can you share a little bit about that story? Like, how soon after your injury did your divorce happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of funny, and you don't know this until 2020 hindsight,
yeah.
But it's kind of funny how patterns repeat themselves if you're not conscious of it in different times of your life. So fast forward, I mean, it was years later. It was maybe 5 or 6 years later. I had been out of the Army. I was living then. I thought that my husband and I had kind of, we had recuperated from that. And then we were living then my version of a dream life, that we had this amazing life that we had built together. We were both really successful, but, just things started to kind of unravel at the seams. And we both knew that there were issues in our marriage, a lot of anxiety issues, some kind of mental health issues that going on with both of us, that we were too scared, and we didn't know how to confront that. And by the time we tried to confront it, it was too late. It was almost like we both knew at that time the only way we could be healthy, happy people is if we were no longer married to each other. And I kind of feel that even if a divorce is mutual, it doesn't make it any easier.
No.
Well, at least, yeah, or at least in my case, it didn't make it easy. It didn't make it easier for me, certainly. And, you know, it was interesting because I didn't think until years, even after the divorce, that this was the second time in my life that this vision I had planned for myself and this vision that I thought my future would turn out to be was, again, think if you're standing on a rug and somebody just yanks it out and you end up falling on your butt and you don't know what to do and you don't know how to get up and you don't know how to take care of yourself or function, that pattern had repeated itself again for me. And when we decided to separate, that was devastating. And it was again because that life I thought that I was supposed to live with this husband that I was supposed to be in love with for the rest of my life, that didn't happen. And those months leading to the separation and the months after it while we're waiting and getting everything in for the divorce, those are hard. And again, that was nothing that I would want to wish on anybody because I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't eating. I actually ended up, I think, losing about 40 pounds. It's the divorce diet. I would maybe only be sleeping maybe 2 or 3 hours a night because I remember one day looking at the clock. It was 3 o'clock in the morning and I was in my closet trying to organize things and trying to hide everything that reminded me of my marriage.
Right.
And I remember then just so exhausted falling asleep on my carpet, and my dogs are probably like, what's our human doing? She's crazy. She has a bed right here. Why is she on the floor?
Yeah.
And I remember waking up and my body's all hurting and I got this neck ache because I fell asleep and the lights are on. And it took too long for me to realize until I finally did, what are you doing? The reason that you're feeling like crap is because you're not taking care of yourself.
So even your experience with your injury that didn't kick in to your post-divorce or your divorce transition where the voice was saying you have to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Right. Right. And it's so funny. And maybe it might have just been because I was just too young and I was too naive and I wasn't that self-aware and I wasn't mature enough to recognize those patterns from my past. But I guess that's what happens in life is you have to make some of those mistakes sometimes in order to then realize your own patterns to keep from making them again. So hopefully that won't happen again.
Right. I hope it doesn't happen again for you. Let me ask you this. Why, based on your experience now, why would you say that taking care of ourselves during a transition like divorce is so important? Why should our listeners make this a priority?
I think we have to make it a priority because there is no way you're going to do it within a reasonable amount of time or be able to do it at all unless you're taking care of yourself. And that's multiple ways. That's taking care of yourself physically. That's taking care of yourself spiritually, and that's taking care of yourself emotionally. And you have to do those things because you deserve it and you deserve to move on to the next chapter of your life and not feel horrible.
Because if you don't move on, you get stuck, you feel bitter, revengeful, maybe become deeply unhappy, depressed, and maybe even clinically depressed.
Absolutely. And just kind of a disclaimer, I'm not a mental health professional.
Nor am I.
But what I have seen, and a lot of the women, a lot of the clients I work with, I focus with women in my coaching practice, and I know we all have different kind of areas of expertise, but kind of what calls to me and the women that I like to work with are the ones that have maybe been divorced for 5 years, 10 years, and they still feel horrible and they still haven't really moved on after the fact. And one of the things I like to ask them is, well, first of all, what are you doing to take care of yourself right now? And just curious, I don't like digging up the past, but what are the things that you did to be kind to yourself during that horrible trauma in your life, during that horrible transition of the breakdown, you know, of your marriage to becoming, you know, single again? And sometimes they'll look at me and think, what are you talking about? What do you mean take care of myself? I'm here. I talked to the lawyer, which is very important, but that's only a piece of the pie. They're like, well, I ended up getting the money I needed, getting spousal support. I moved out of the house. Well, yeah, I took care of myself. And I said, well, no, that's not what I mean. What are these other things? How are you sleeping right now? How are you eating right now? If you're feeling like you can't get out of your rut, would you consider talking to someone? Do you have a support group you can go to? And there are just so many people going through divorce that they're not even aware of that there's this whole other field that you need to worry about, which is taking care of yourself. And if you don't do that, you could have the best lawyer, you could have the best financial advisor, and they're still not going to help you be whole again. And they're still not going to help you move on if you're not going to help yourself.
Right. So, you know, we're going to come on to talking about what stops people from talking to taking care of themselves. But first, I wanted to remind our listeners, I'm Mandy Walker. This is Conversations About Divorce, and today we are talking about taking care of yourself while you're going through divorce and afterwards, because it is so important. It's a critical component to healing from your breakup, and we're generally very bad about doing that. My guest today is Martha Bodiefeldt. Martha is a fellow divorce coach, and you can read more about Martha's work at her website, Surviving Your Split. And Martha, you have a free download to share with our listeners.
I sure do. So if anybody's interested in visiting the site Surviving Your Split, you can go over there, and what you'll see is a box that describes the my Ultimate Divorce Warrior Survival Guide. I know that's a mouthful, but if you want to take a look, if you want to get that download, the information on how to do that is over at the site. And what that download will help you do is a couple of things. If you're feeling like you don't know how to get out of the daily drama that you're in right now, that guide is going to give you some directions on how to do that in the best manner for you. If you just feel like everything is just kind of just kind of a crapshoot right now, and you can't get beyond feeling bad, the guide will show you how to do that and give you kind of a navigation, kind of a GPS system for you in your own life, how to move on. Head over to survivingyoursplit.com and take a look, sign up, and I'd love to send you that free download.
Thank you, Martha. Now, let's go back to, you were saying about how some of your clients really are not aware of what taking care of themselves mean during divorce, and kind of look at you blankly. I've had that experience too. But let's talk about, what are some of the common obstacles to taking care of yourself? I've heard like some people say, well, if I do that, I feel guilty.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think one of the, a couple of the obstacles, and the, you hit the nail right on the head, because that's something I discuss, I'm discussing right now on my blog, is trying to get over the guilt for some reason. And I work mainly with women, so this is something that I see with women, is a lot of the times in our culture, we're taught to be the caretakers. And that's wonderful. You know, we're taught to take care of our spouses. We're taught to take care of the family. We're taught to care for our friends and our aging parents. And that's great that we can fulfill that role. But while we're fulfilling that role, unfortunately, we were never taught that, hey, you need to take care of yourself too. And because a lot of us weren't taught that, I think that's why a lot of the women going through divorce, or anybody maybe for that matter, feels guilty that, well, oh, if I take care of myself, that means that I'm leaving all my responsibilities and going to a spa for 3 weeks.
Right.
And I think sometimes we over-exaggerate what that means. There's nothing wrong with going away from work and going to spa for a couple of weeks, but it doesn't have to be that extreme. And it's just these little things that anybody can integrate into their daily life to make themselves more calm, to make themselves feel better, without sacrificing any of these other obligations that we feel that we have to do when we're going through a divorce.
And you make a great point about it doesn't have to be an elaborate plan or like, you know, and I even say to people too, you know, taking care of yourself, yes, it means taking care of you physically, but that doesn't mean going to the gym and working out for an hour strenuously. This is not about working out. It can be, if you find working out therapeutic, go ahead and do it. But this, the idea of taking care of yourself shouldn't add more stress to an already stressful situation. So it might be as simple as just taking a 10-minute walk on your own at lunchtime outside. I do like to tell people to get outside in the fresh air, the sunshine, the sun, the lightness, and to breathe that in. And just to spur a little bit of quiet contemplation.
Absolutely. And in this world where we're constantly, our eyes are constantly glued to our iPhones or our computer or our TV. And don't get me wrong, I'm in the middle of binge watching Downton Abbey right now. But so don't tell me how it ends. I'm only in season 4.
Okay.
What that means, though, is it's okay to just disconnect for a minute. That might even mean, hey, if you're slammed at work, close your office door and just close your eyes and breathe deeply for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can be taking care of yourself. Or mm-hmm. if you come home from work and you feel stressed, or if you have a minute after dropping your kids off at soccer practice or whatever it is, just going home and hugging your dog or petting your cat on the head for a little bit and just giving yourself that time to breathe. So it doesn't have to be anything major. And I like to tell people that the one guidance, that the only kind of guiding light for taking care of yourself, is finding something that even for a moment brings you joy. So long as it's not destructive to you or other people.
Right. So that brings me to another point. Like, one of the obstacles I think for people is often they just, by the time their marriages are ending, they really do feel so lost and so bewildered. I ask them what brings them joy, and they say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just don't know anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I think the reason that happens, and I think this happens for most married couples, is for most of the time during your partnership, during your marriage, you probably defined yourself as the unit. You defined yourself as, I am in this marriage. I am the partner. And you forgot how to define yourself as an individual. And when you lose that part of yourself, and then you lose your identity as being part of a married couple, you're left with nothing. You feel like you're left with nothing. And so you don't know what brings you joy anymore, because you haven't explored what makes you you and what makes you happy for years.
Right. So what tips do you have for discovering what brings you joy?
So I think a couple of things, and it's not, what I like to tell my clients is, finding what brings you joy is not going to be something that happens overnight. And something that I remember doing right when, you know, when my now ex-husband and I separated and I was devastated, what made me feel better about myself was every night before I go to bed, I had this little journal, and in it, I started to prompt myself with the guidance of this excellent book called Simple Abundance, is write down 3 things that made you happy today. And then after that, and that kind of gets you in a contemplative mood, start writing down every week, what are the things that you love to do? And at first it's almost like, oh, well, I don't really have much fun doing anything. But if you're open to it, then, and you're receptive to that, then you're going to start, things are going to start opening up for you. Something that I didn't know that I liked to do until, I started being more kind to myself and just taking it easy was I didn't know that I loved to bake. I didn't find that out until I remember right when my husband and I decided to separate, I was so afraid of being alone and spending those nights alone. I ended up bringing out these, kind of Julia, you know, the Julia Child books, yes, and Jacques Pepin books. And I'm like, you know what? To just kind of occupy myself, I'm going to bake this and do this and do that. And it originally for me started as a way to occupy my time, and my coworkers loved it. And there was a couple of months that they probably gained like 20 pounds each.
Let's say good job you had coworkers.
Right. But for me, what originally started as something I was just doing to occupy my time transitioned to something that I was extremely passionate about doing.
Right.
I remember something as well was, and something that I never was able to do when I was married, and that's another thing I would advise people, is something that might bring you joy is exploring things that you felt that you couldn't do when you were married.
Yes. And I also tell people to think back to before they were married. And sometimes it goes back even to like their teenage years and their family upbringing. What did you used to do as a family? What, you know, because a lot of those things are so ingrained and bring us so much pleasure and joy. And we do let them, fall by the wayside while when we get married, because especially if our partner didn't have the same experience and doesn't hold the same interest, we forget about those things, and that it's a good place to start. Say, okay, well, maybe I will try this again. Maybe I'll get an instrument again and start playing it because I used to play piano or something.
Absolutely. And it's so simple, but not easy. If that makes sense, when you try to set that clock back, and I like to tell my clients is think of the last time you were happy. And sometimes they say, oh, it was when I thought I was going to be with my husband forever. And I said, well, no, not that. Think about the last time. Think about the last time you doing something yourself that was independent of your partner. What was that that made you happy? And sometimes they have to dig, you know, they're digging in the annals of their mind because that might have been decades ago. But if they're attuned to that and they open their hearts to that, they find it. But that's the thing I would advise people is you need to be honest with yourself that yes, there was a time, and you need to be a little bit disciplined in that you can find it. Dig back in your memory and you're going to find something that you love to do. Why not visit that now?
Yeah, good, great suggestion. So I'm going to keep an eye on our time here, but I do want to ask you, what do you say to the person that says, you know, I have so much to do, I don't have time to do this?
Right, and there's something my mother always said to me, and she still does, is she says, Martha, you know what, we're all busy. And so what I like to say about that is, if you feel like you don't have time to it, you don't have time for it. But I like to tell my clients this, that your happiness, your moving on with your life, that is your priority. You being healthy is your priority. And that's the thing that you need to think of. And that takes precedence over that anything else.
Right.
Is you're being mentally sound, you're being spiritually whole, and you're being emotionally fulfilled and not brokenhearted and not grief-stricken and able to deal with that, that's the priority. And you are never too busy to do that in your life.
And I think that, you know, maybe for a short time you can put all those things on hold and not do them, but mm-hmm. it's not going to help you get through the whole process, and you will be able to cope better with like making decisions that the attorney wants, or thinking through what may be best for your kids, or brainstorming solutions if you are taking care of yourself in a very basic way. Just to finish up, Martha, I want to ask you one other question is, what about some unhealthy ways of taking care of yourself?
Right, right.
What would you class as those?
I could write a book on that called what not to do during your separation. And I think anybody who's gone through a divorce and separation can vouch for that. But coming out on the other side and having survived that, there's a couple of them. One of the number one things I tell people is don't run into the arms of somebody else. That don't get into a relationship right away. And although maybe you feel like you were starving because you hadn't been close or you hadn't been intimate with your partner in a while, if you were having troubles with your marriage, you're not going to feel whole by getting emotionally and romantically involved with somebody else.
Right.
Because it's a rebound. And if that relationship doesn't work out, you're going to feel more traumatized on that. So I think getting involved with someone too quickly, that is not a way to take care of yourself. To me, that's one of the number one ones. Then to try to find comfort in excessive alcohol or drugs.
I was thinking anything in excess, like even like retail therapy and exercising excessively, binge watching TV, you know, excessively.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I would recommend not to do. And then I think also what's not a way to take care of yourself is blaming yourself.
Right.
And I think sometimes people think, oh, well, if I just take responsibility for everything, that'll help me move on faster. But right at the epicenter of your divorce, when things are going really bad, that's actually going to perpetuate guilt and shame. And that's not going to help you move on. So I wouldn't suggest doing that either.
Right, right. Great suggestions, Martha. We are out of time. I can't believe how quickly this time has gone. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm happy to be here. And everybody, to the listeners, if you want that guide, go ahead to survivingyoursplit.com and download it. And I'd love to hear what you think about it and how it's useful to you.
And listeners, I will include a link to the Divorce Warrior Survival Kit in the show description, so you'll be able to get it from there too. My message to you listeners is please, 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 you know, taking care of yourself during divorce and post-divorce is so important, and I know it can be difficult. Oftentimes there simply aren't enough hours in the day to work, to take care of children, to do what your attorney wants, or to do the research you know that you need to do to sort out your finances. And taking care of yourself can get put on the back burner. But if you keep that up for long, then your ability to do everything else will suffer. And as we talked about very early on in the show, taking care of yourself can be as simple as just doing something that brings you joy for 10 minutes each day. Please listen to what Martha and I have talked about and start making your needs a priority today. And even if that's just sitting quietly for a few minutes each day. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Mandy Walker. You'll find a wealth of divorce-related information at my website, sincemydivorce.com, including my free download, Untangling from Your Spouse, How to Prepare for Divorce. You can also follow me as Since My Divorce on Twitter and Facebook. I hope you'll join us next time for more conversations about divorce.